This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Hello and welcome. I'm Natalie Pincham, and I'll be reading synopses of articles published by JNS Pediatrics on November 7th, 2014. The topics of the two articles featured in this podcast are infection and epilepsy. Hemispherectomy for treatment of refractory epilepsy in the pediatric age group. A systematic review. A literature review by Christoph Greisenauer and colleagues. Evidence in support of hemispherectomy for refractory epilepsy in pediatric patients stems from a multitude of retrospective studies illustrating individual institutions' experience. The authors performed a systematic review of hemispherectomy and included any studies of 10 or more patients undergoing hemispherectomy that reported seizure outcomes after a minimum follow-up of 1 year and a description of the type of hemispherectomy. Only the most recent paper from institutions that published multiple papers with overlapping study periods was included. Using this search strategy, the authors identified 29 studies with a total of 1,161 patients. The overall rate of seizure freedom at last follow-up was 73.4%. Comparing seizure outcome for the different types of hemispherectomy, seizure outcome was most favorable for anatomical hemispherectomy, followed by hemispherotomy, functional hemispherectomy, and hemidecortication, without any statistically significant differences between types. Acquired and progressive etiologies were associated with significantly higher seizure-free rates than developmental etiologies. Shunted hydrocephalus was the most common complication and highest in anatomical hemispherectomy. Mortality within 30 days was 2.2% and was not statistically different between types of hemispherectomy. The authors conclude that hemispherectomy is highly effective for treating refractory epilepsy in the pediatric age group, particularly for acquired and progressive etiologies. While the type of hemispherectomy does not have any influence on seizure outcome, hemispherotomy is associated with a more favorable complication profile. Cerebral paragonimiasis, a retrospective analysis of 27 cases, a clinical article by Yong Zia and co-workers. Mounting evidence indicates that paragonimus infections have re-emerged globally after decades of neglect. Cerebral paragonimiasis is the most common and severe complication of paragonimus infection. Patients with early diagnosis can be cured by chemotherapy with praziquantel. However, most contemporary clinicians, clinical pathologists, and neuroradiologists are unfamiliar with this disease in clinical practice. Effective management presents extensive challenges for neurosurgeons worldwide, especially for some sporadic cases in non-endemic areas. Southwest China is known to be an endemic area for Paragonimus westermanni and Paragonimus scribini. In the authors' hospital alone, 125 patients had a diagnosis of Paragonimus infection between 2008 and 2013. 27 patients had cerebral paragonimiasis. The authors retrospectively analyzed the diagnostic process in 27 cases of cerebral paragonimiasis by considering the clinical characteristics, existing problems, and treatment experiences, with the goal of reminding physicians that cerebral paragonimiasis is not an archaic disease and alerting them to the possibility of cerebral paragonimiasis in differential diagnoses of central nervous system diseases. An analysis of current sources of infection is very useful in evaluating the current worldwide trends of paragonimus infection and in diagnosing and treating sporadic cases in non-endemic areas. Thank you for listening. Follow the JNS on Twitter at #TheJNS and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group. Comments on this podcast can be sent to JNSpodcast@thejns.org.